Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a new report on the Congress's most 1% friendly lawmakers and speak with one of its authors, Scott Klinger, who is a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. We'll discuss the nearly 60 members of Congress who have received failing grades for feathering the nests of America's most affluent while ignoring the needs of the 99%. Then we will look into the increasing economic distress in Iran from sanctions that are driving down the value of the rial and causing street demonstrations that the Iranian government is blaming on foreign subversives. Shohrab Bahdad, professor of economics at Denison University, who previously taught economics at Tehran University, joins us. We will discuss the role of the merchants, the bazaaris, and the money changers in these growing protests against an unpopular government. Then finally, we will speak with the filmmakers of a new feature documentary, We're Not Broke. Co-directors Karen Hayes and Victoria Bruce join us to discuss their film that documents how U.S. corporations don't pay taxes and hide trillions offshore while a growing number of Americans take their frustrations to the streets, demanding corporations pay their fair share. Joining us now is Scott Klinger, who is an associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and co-author of their new report, A Congressional Report Card for the 99%. He is also the Tax Policy Director for Business for Shared Prosperity and a chartered financial analyst who previously worked as a security analyst and portfolio manager for Walden Asset Management. Welcome to Background Briefing, Scott Klinger.
Thank you, Ian.
And you have this new report has both an honor roll that highlights those representatives in Congress and in the Senate who have done the most to narrow America's economic divide, as well as the dishonor roll. And it looks, from my look at this list that you have, that the people who are graded F, which is the lowest that you can get, all of them are Republicans, are they not?
That's right. All of the people with Fs are Republicans, but we also did something different and named the most 1% friendly Democrats and the most 99% friendly Republicans, which is a little bit different twist on the kind of scorecards that are usually done.
But in terms of the dishonor roll on the Democratic side, there's a list of dishonorable Democrats, but rather than the bottom grade F, they get a C grade, right?
That's correct.
And what's what's the gulf between C and F?
Well, what we did is we looked at these 40 issues. Some were recorded votes, and others were bills that were introduced. And we looked at who co-sponsored those bills, and we assigned a positive point for each action that favored the 99%, and took away a point for every action that favored the 1%. And at the end, we totaled up all the scores and broke them into groups, and the Republicans were in the lower grades, and the Democrats generally were in the higher grades. But one thing we were quite surprised about in doing this is that we weren't all that surprised that the Republicans were very closely united around a 1% friendly agenda, but we were a bit surprised that the Democrats were not as unified around a 99% agenda. They were more spread out.
And Scott Klinger, how does this work regionally? Because the inner city people, and particularly in the inner city representatives, and particularly in New York, where Wall Street is, aren't necessarily representing the company town. Although, you know, Senator Schumer has been quite solicitous of Wall Street, but it seems that most of the support for the 1%. Come from the South and the red states in the middle of the country, often rural and quite relatively poor. So am I correct in trying to puzzle this out?
I think that's the right way to puzzle it. But we also saw some surprising things. And one of the things we noticed was that representatives that were from areas with large universities tended to get higher grades. Even if they were in a pretty conservative state. For example, Tennessee, the state as a whole, their congressional delegation got a C-, but one of their representatives got an A+. He was the only, no one else even in the state got a, I guess one other person got a B-, but everyone else got C's, D's, and F's. So one representative there got an A+, and that we saw that kind of play out in other places as well. So You know, we had thought they were probably just pockets of insensitivity to the 99%, but we found these kind of shining examples of where there were interruptions to that that sort of blanket of 1% friendly Congress people.
So Scott Klinger, again, Associate Fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and co-author of the new report, A Congressional Report Card on for the 99%. And so the divide between the 99% and the 1% is probably the enduring legacy of the Occupy movement. And I think it's pretty much into the political consciousness of the country now. But how does your study define lawmakers who friendly towards the 99% and those that are friendly towards the 1%?
Well, we looked at all of these different bills in a variety of areas, from tax policy to budget priorities, jobs and wages, housing, health care, affordable education. And we tried to identify bills that reflected either clear activity to reduce the economic divide or, conversely, activity that would represent widening the divide. So we looked at obvious things like the Bush tax cuts, votes that happened just before Congress adjourned over the summer. And, you know, probably no single piece of legislation has had more impact on the growing divide than the Bush tax cuts. Just in the last couple of weeks, we've seen Congress's research arm, the Congressional Research Service, come out with a really important new study. They looked at 65 years of tax information and tried to answer the question about whether tax cuts created jobs. And what they found was that there's no evidence over those 65 years that tax cuts for the wealthy create jobs or destroy jobs if taxes are increased. But there is a lot of evidence that the tax cuts were responsible for widening inequality. So that's the perfect kind of issue that we looked at. We looked at some more obscure things that weren't as far-reaching. One of the bills we looked at would, it's called the Call Center Worker Protection Act, and it would require companies that moved call center jobs offshore to report that to the government. And then once they did that, they would be ineligible for taxpayer-financed grants and low-income loans for a period of 5 years, because we don't want to create incentives for companies to and reward companies that shift U.S. jobs overseas. That's not going to, you know, obviously change the whole economy, but it's an important statement, and that's the other kind of bills that we looked at in our study.
And as I mentioned, all of those senators and congressmen that were graded F, about which is the bottom of the scale, the most 1% friendly, they're all Republican. But on the, I think just to I'm sure there'll be some interest in the Democrats that you graded with a C, Senator Ben Nelson, Joe Lieberman, no surprise there, Senator Kay Hagan, Senator Mark Pryor, Senator John Tester in a very close election in Montana, and Senator Jim Webb, who has resigned from the Senate. On the House side, John Barrow, Dan Boren. Of course, Dan Boren is related to vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan's wife. He's in the fracking business. He's actually in the family business there, along with Paul Ryan's wife. Then you've got Ben Chandler, Henry Queller, Joe Donnelly, Larry Kissel, Jim Matheson, Mike McIntyre, Bill Owens, Mike Ross, Timothy Walz. Nobody from California, I'm glad to say. A few from New York, but mostly from Georgia, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Texas, and Utah and North Carolina. What's the your sense then of how will this in any way? You've embargoed this till midnight tonight. Midnight last night. So, yeah. But your timing seems to be coinciding with the presidential debate tonight. So, is there a connection there?
Well, you know, we certainly know these issues are on people's minds, and we expect them to come up in the debate. So that is part of the reason for doing it now. We also wanted to get it out into voters' hands during this month when people are campaigning hard, and we hope that your listeners will take a look at the report and call or write their congressperson or ask them at a community event where they see them, you know, either thank them for their good grade and ask them to keep it up, or if they scored poorly, ask them how they're going to raise their grade when the report comes out next year. There's in the report at least each of the 40 bills and why it's included in the report. And online there's a spreadsheet that gives the voting record for each member of Congress, so you can look up the details.
So how will they get to, how will our listeners access your report?
They can go to our website, which is ips-dc.org, and right there on the homepage, there's a another click you can click through to the report and find all the information. It's also a really interesting interactive map that you can click on a congressional district and see the Congress the representative score and how to access their Twitter account and send them a quick message that way.
Again, I'm speaking with Scott Klinger, who is an associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and co-author of their new report, A Congressional Report Card for the 99%, that looks at all the members of the Senate and the House of Representatives in terms of how much they either feather the nests of the 1% or take care of the 99%. Is there a correlation, or does it come up in your study, between campaign money and fealty towards the 1%? Or is it ideological? Do these people who, rather than take care of the 99% of their constituents, basically suck up to the billionaires?
I think it's more coincidental. We didn't do an exhaustive study of it, but we did. We have a one-page Who Invests in Inequality, and two of the representatives that got Fs in the House were funded by four of the top corporate funders of inequality, Honeywell, Koch Industries, Goldman Sachs, and ExxonMobil. And those two were Nan Hayworth from New York and Tim Scott from South Carolina. They were the only two of the 48 House members that got an F that got funding from all four of those corporations.
So what about the others? Are they Tea Party ideologues in the sense that they actually believe that you have to free up the billionaires?
You know, a lot are, and we didn't really look at it through that lens of how many were stated members of the Tea Party. You know, I'll tell you that a number of print journalists are doing stories on this right now, and we've had some interesting back and forth through the journalists. And we've actually had some of the Senate offices have tried to tell the journalists that, for example, being in favor of getting rid of the estate tax was a 99% friendly position, that it would protect families' wealth. And, you know, there's just a sense of, you know, incredulousness that people would make that case when the estate tax doesn't even begin to affect anyone who dies with less than $10 million, which is hardly, you know, it's very high up in the 1%. It's not even the threshold for the 1%. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, we see coming from some of these folks that have earned their Fs, and they're trying to put a different spin on it. But we hope that people see through that.
Well, you know, they framed that estate tax in terms of the so-called death tax. It's been thoroughly refuted. The propaganda about how the family farm is lost to big government intrusion. And there's never been a case of an estate tax causing the loss of a family farm.
Right.
So you're saying that some of these congressmen and senators are still trying to sell this idea that the estate tax has something to do with the average person as opposed to the extremely wealthy who...
That's right. It's only the very, only, you know, the number of estates that get taxed each year is measured in the thousands, not the millions or anything like that. And in fact, there was a study done specifically of small businesses and family farms, and there's only about 100 a year that would be subject to any sort of estate tax, and most of that's quite manageable. So, you know, we're talking about very, very small numbers of people and trying to get rid of a very important tax that's been around for 100 years that raises a lot of money to fund all sorts of programs that are important to working families in this country, and trying to get rid of that on the basis of these pretty much made-up arguments.
Well, tonight we're going to have a debate, of course, between a bona fide representative of the 1% running against the incumbent president, who hasn't exactly been unfriendly to Wall Street. But I think there is a difference between the two of them in terms of their understanding of fairness in this country. How about, though, and obviously your new study is, in fact, a congressional report card for the 99%, is obviously, in a way, can I describe it as a name and shaming report? I mean, it's naming and shaming, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a piece of it. We did it in order to try and inspire people's imagination to begin to look at legislation through an inequality lens, to not just see the financial cost of it, but also to begin to see the social cost of things that our Congress is passing or on the other side, not even considering things that would reduce inequality. So we really want people to get used to thinking about the bills they're reading about in the paper, as many of them do have a very strong impact on inequality, and if that's an issue they care about, they might want to look at the issues through that lens. But the end result is that we give a grade for every sitting member of Congress, and you know the good ones are celebrated and the bad ones are told to get out of detention hall and go back and do a better job.
Well, but my question would be, are they capable of being shamed? Is there evidence that this is really the fact that you say a lot of the print reporters have been working with you today on this report that you've just released have been getting feedback from the Senate and the House? It would indicate to me perhaps that it is making them uncomfortable. Maybe shaming is working.
Well, I think it is making them uncomfortable. We also have heard from a couple of print sources that they're not going to cover the report, but that they're going to use them when they do their editorial endorsements later in October. So, you know, that's not something we had thought about or planned on, but that's an interesting use of them, and we're glad that people are thinking about the issue in that way.
So, in other words, these Congress people could in fact have this tag of how they are on the 99% meter. In terms
yeah.
of,
I mean, I think there's some that probably would wear their F as a badge of pride, you know, given who they are and who they are ideologically.
Yeah, but what about their constituents? No congressman has a constituent full of billionaires.
That's right. You know,
but how do they do it? How can you be so slavish to the billionaires and yet represent ordinary people?
I think the argument we most often hear is that they're for small government. They want to get government off their back. They don't want regulation. They don't want taxes. They don't want this. They don't want that. And so, you know, given that a lot of these bills have to do with taxes and how we spend money and regulations and support for affordable education, you know, they would ideologically be strong opponents to many of those things, if not all of them. And therefore is why I think they wear their F as a badge of honor. You know, I don't think most representatives are that way, though. I think most really do care, and I think most, you know, are rightfully concerned to be deemed not a friend to the masses, because that's who elects them. We're hoping that it causes some stir, some discussion, some discomfort, some dialogue. All those things would be good outcomes.
Well, Scott Klinger, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ian. It's been my pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Scott Klinger, who is an associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and co-author of their new report, A Congressional Report Card for the 99%. He is also the tax policy director for Business for Shared Prosperity and a chartered financial analyst who previously worked as a security analyst and portfolio manager for Walden Asset Management. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the apparent economic distress in Iran as the sanctions appear to be biting.
So excuse me, Mr. Butter, I'm a Mr. Two, and you're giving Mr.